Hello, I want to welcome you to my broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blonnie Gregory, and today I want to share God's Word with you, and I know that if you'll listen, that God's Word will encourage you and lift you up, that God's Word is living, and God's Word is faithful. Whatever God tells you in His Word, He watches over His Word to perform it. So stay tuned today. I know that the Word of God will bless your heart, but first I'd like to pray for you. Lord, I pray for all my listeners today. You know everyone. You know the ones that are listening. You know the needs. Some today are so heartbroken, Lord. Some today, Lord, need so much in their lives. They need a physical touch, Lord. There are those that need financial. And, Lord, there are those that are listening today that are bound by alcoholism and drugs and caught up in all kind of things. And they think there is no hope. But there's no such a thing, we know, Lord, as a hopeless case with you. And for those that do not have salvation, please, in your tender love and mercy, bring them unto salvation. And we pray, Lord, especially for our country, and ask God that you deliver our country and spare our country. Bless our leaders, and God, help them to do the right thing and lead our country in the right way. We pray, God, for revival in our land. We ask that you forgive America and forgive us of all of our sins. We turn from our wicked ways, and we call, Lord, upon you, and we ask that you heal our land and bring revival. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to speak to you out of Luke chapter 17, and I want to start reading from the 11th verse, Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. This is speaking of Jesus. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. When we read about leprosy in the Bible, it was a disease that was a horrible disease. It was a terminal disease. There was no hope for it. And the Israelites, the people, knew the only hope at all, not in man or medicine, of anybody being cleansed, that only God could cleanse leprosy. And as Jesus, the Bible says, came in, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he was passing through, he met 10 men that were together, and all 10 of these men had leprosy. And one of these men, one of the 10, was a Samaritan. Now, the Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. They looked down on them, and they wouldn't have anything to do with them. But isn't it amazing that when they were all faced with death, and they all were given a death sentence, that the class action didn't make any difference? They were all doomed to die. It didn't matter if you was a Samaritan or where you came from. We're all in this thing together. But when they saw Jesus, oh, let me tell you, I come by to tell you, some of you today think there is absolutely no hope for your life, no hope for your situation, no hope for your children, no hope in your finances, no hope in your health. But let me tell you, when you see Jesus, things are going to change. When you see Jesus, I mean really seeing, things are going to change in your life. When you really get a hold of who Jesus really is, these 10 men knew that he was the Son of God. And this is what they said, Master, have mercy on us. They recognized him as being the Master. They recognized him as being one that could change their situation. You know, sometimes you just got to come to the place that you realize that nobody can help you. You've done been to every doctor in town. You've done been to every lawyer in town. You have exhausted every avenue, and you've been turned out, and you consider to be unclean. You consider to be hopeless in the eyes of man. You consider to be worthless and as good as dead in the eyes of man. But I'm telling you that when you get a glimpse of Jesus, that thing is going to change. And these men said, "Master, have mercy on us." That prayer, "Have mercy on us," stopped Jesus. That same prayer will stop him today and cause him to move in your life if you can pray that same prayer. "Have mercy on me, Jesus. Have mercy on me, Jesus." That's the same prayer that blind Bartimaeus cried on the side of the road that stopped Jesus. And that same prayer is the same prayer these leprous men cried, "Have mercy on us." Let me tell you, when you cry for mercy from the depths of your heart, Jesus won't pass you by, but he'll stop and he'll minister to you. And he told these 10 men, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." You see, it was no need for a leprous man to go to the priest as long as leprosy was in their body, because there was no hope for them. They were pronounced unclean. They had to be separated from their families. They had to be separated from the people, the well people, the healthy people. And when people got close to them, they had to cover their mouth and they had to holler unclean. That's the way sin will do you. Sin will separate you from your family. Sin will tear you apart from the ones you love. Sin will put you in a position where all you can do is be around other people that are just as bad off as you are. You know, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get stuck in a situation where you get in a mess, where everybody around you is in a mess. But I come by to tell you, there's hope for you. There's hope for you if you'll just, like these 10 leprous men, cry for mercy. They said, "Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they began to walk and obey the master, oh, that's just what I want to talk to you about today. He ordered their footsteps. Psalms 37 says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And when you do what Jesus tells you to do, that's what makes you good. Nothing that you've done in yourself of what he tells you to do. When these 10 lepers let Jesus order their footsteps, it directed them to the priest that could pronounce them clean so they could go back home. And as they began to walk in the footsteps that Jesus told them to go, the way he told them to go, they looked down and all of a sudden, all 10 of these men were cleansed. All 10 of these leprous men who were hopeless were made whole. All 10 of these leprous men, that disease in their body, oh, they knew that only God could help them. And the Son of the Living God told them to go their way. And you know what? They were made whole. When you cry to Jesus, when you look to him, there is hope and there is salvation. Don't give up and don't quit and don't lose hope. Because when you'll just take time to say, "Jesus, have mercy on me," he'll reach down and he'll bless you. He ordered their footsteps and they were made whole. And I can imagine as these men looked down and they saw the leprosy leave their body, that they began to run back to their homes as they went by the priest, and the priest pronounced them clean, that they ran back to their homes and they went back to their families and their skin was made whole and they were able to go back to their living and able to go back doing what they used to do. But one out of the 10 turned back. But one out of the 10 that was made whole turned back and fell on his face and thanked Jesus for what he'd done. Oh, let me tell you, we need to be that one that turned back. Jesus said, "I healed 10, where are the other 9? And that's what I want to ask you today. Where are you at today? Has God blessed you? Has God helped you? Have you ever turned back and glorified his name? Have you ever turned back? Some people pray when they get trouble, "Oh Lord, help me. I promise I'll never do it again," and the Lord gets you out of trouble, but there's no turning back. Some of you have to financial trouble and God will help you, God will bless you, but there's no turning back. Some of you have been sick in your body and the Lord will heal you and you'll go on home and go back to work, but there's no turning back. Some of you, you've had all kind of trouble in your life and the Lord has helped you, but there's no turning back. But the one Samaritan man, the one that other people looked down on, he turned back and said, "Thank you, Jesus. That's what I like. I like somebody that can turn back and say, thank you, Jesus. The Lord told him in the law, he said, when you eat bread without scarceness, when you come into a land that's filled with milk and honey, and you could eat bread without scarceness, don't forget to bless my name. That's what's wrong with America. They have forgotten to bless the name. You can eat bread without scarceness, but there's no turning back. You live in your nice, fine homes, but there's no turning back. You got your bank account, but there's no turning back. You got your big cars, but there's no turning back. You can't thank God for the little babies that you're holding in your hand. You can't thank God that you got shoes on your feet. You can't thank God that you got a roof over your head. What's wrong with you today? Can't you turn back and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for delivering me. This Samaritan man, he turned back and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. It reminds me of that boy that was up in the tomb. In the book of Mark, the Bible tells us of a boy that was up in the tomb that no man could do anything with. And the Bible says he was full of devils, and he was wild, and he cut himself, and he would cry night and day, and he didn't even wear clothes, and nobody could, they would come and chain him up, and he'd be so full of devil that he'd break the chains, and he would run wild, and nobody could help him. But one day Jesus came up through there, and he fell at his feet, and he asked for mercy. And this man they call Legion, Jesus set him free, and Jesus delivered him. And let me tell you, when the people of the town came up to see what had happened, guess what they found? They found this man they call Legion sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You see, Legion turned back and came back to the feet of Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I want to go with you. Everywhere you go, I want to go. And Jesus said, no, you go on back home and tell them what compassion I had on you. You go home and tell them that you turned back and glorified my name and tell them what I've done for you. Let me tell you, people, we are quick to ask for blessings. We're quick to ask for help. And that's okay. God wants us to come to him. But be even quicker to fall back on your face and say, thank you, Jesus. Be even quicker to say, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you that you healed my body. The Samaritan man came back and fell on his face and glorified God and thanked him. And Jesus said, go your way, arise and go your way, because your faith has made you whole. In other words, you're not just healed, you made whole. You see, a thankful person and a grateful person is a happy person, is a person that is whole. When you're always, and you're not thankful, and you're not grateful, you're not happy, and you're not blessed to the fullest extent. I want to be a person that when I can take time to praise him and worship him, we just need to have time when we fall on our face and say, thank you, Jesus. There's an old hymn that I love. It said, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God hath done. I'm asking you right there where you're at right now. Can you begin to thank God? Some of you, like Paul and Silas, when they were put in prison and they were cast into the inner part, they could turn and praise God. They could turn and thank God. Yes, they was in a hardship. Yes, they was in a bad time, but that wasn't the whole life. You know, we go through one time of testing and one time of trial, and we make it a life history. Can't you remember the good times you had? That's the reason so many marriages are in trouble. All you can do is remember the bad times. You can't remember the good times. You can't remember the good times you had together. You can't remember the times you laughed together. You can't remember the joyous times. All you can do is think about the hard times, but you need to sit down and you need to count your blessings and you need to name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God hath done. And that's what this man done. He come back and he praised him, and the Lord told him, go on your way. You made whole. Go on back home. You see, you've glorified God. That's a complete blessing. Just don't get half of the blessing. Get the whole blessing. Let God heal you. Let God deliver you. Let him touch you. Let him save your soul. But then get the whole blessing. Turn back and thank him. You know, the other day I went to Walmart and I bought some items, and when I got home, I didn't have everything that I paid for. I got home and one of my bags was missing. My items were gone. I had two items missing. Let me tell you, I paid for it. It was mine, but I didn't get the whole package that I paid for. Let me tell you, God has paid for the whole package, but some of us cheat our own selves because we won't turn back and thank Him. After He blesses you, after He touches you, after you have heard from Him, turn back and say, thank you, Jesus. It astounds me. My husband and I preached in prisons for many years, and we would preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you would give the altar call in the prisons, you'd have to back up because so many of the men would run to the front to give their hearts to Jesus. You could hardly handle it. But you see, they knew the situation they were in, and they knew where God was going to bring them from. But you get in church where everybody's blessed and they're setting up all pretty and dressed up and nice. You got to beg them to come down and thank God. You got to beg them to come to the altar. You got to beg them to say amen. You got to coax them to say praise the Lord. But let me tell you something. Why is that? Why is it when you get your bellies full? Why is it when you get blessed you forget to bless the name of the one that gave you the blessings? Why are we in a situation in our country today, we've forgotten where the blessings come from. We've forgotten who founded this country. God put us on a solid foundation, but we've denied Him and turned our backs on Him, and He is the one that has given us what we have today. Don't forget to bless His name. And the Lord said, where are the other nine? And that's what I want to ask you today. Where are the other nine? Where are you at? Will you turn back and bless Him? That one Samaritan, he turned back and he blessed the Lord. He thanked Him for what He'd done for him. Oh, don't you like to do something for somebody that's grateful? Don't you like to do something for somebody to turn and say thank you? It's just good manners or something we're lacking in our country now. Today, when somebody holds the door for you, it's almost a miracle. I had a man the other day, he held the door for me and he tipped his hat at the same time. I almost had to grab myself in the chest. It's been so long since I've seen that. I love to see people with good manners, but why can't we have good manners with Jesus? Why can't we turn back and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you that you've given me another day to live. Thank you that I have your word. Thank you that I got a song in my heart. Thank you that I got all the blessings that you've given me. Why can't we turn and say thank you? I have to think about Naamath the leopard in 2 Kings chapter 5. He was a man that had leprosy too, and he was sent to the prophet Elisha, and he went up for Elisha, and he tried to buy the gifts of God. He said, listen, Elisha, I want to give you all these good gifts, and I want to give you this money. And Elisha wouldn't even come out and talk to him. He sent his servant and said, no, we don't want... See, your treasure can't buy the blessings of God. It's a gift. I don't care what the preachers tell you on TV and radio. You can't buy the blessings of God. It's a gift. Freely you have received and freely you got to give. God will bless you when you do give, but you can't buy the blessings of God. You'll be blessed when you give, but they're not for sale. It's just a blessing that God gives you when you honor Him with your giving. And Naamath told him, he said, I've got this leprosy. And Elisha sent him word, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naamath the leopard, he didn't want to do that. He was a captain of the Syrian host. He was a mighty man of valor. He was a great warrior. And he didn't want to go down and dip in a muddy Jordan. But let me tell you something. If you're being eat up with leprosy, if you're being eat up with sin, if you're being eat up with discouragement and doubt, why won't you go on down to the church and dip yourself in the Jordan River? Come on, church. Come on, I'm talking to somebody today. Don't let your pride keep you from doing what God has told you to do. Don't let your pride keep you from humbling yourself before God and getting on your knees. You know, that's something you don't see in churches no more. You don't see nobody getting on their knees praying. We got lines we get in. We get in blessing lines. We just want somebody to lay hands on us and bless us, and that's okay. But hey, what happened to getting down on your knees and praying through? What happened to getting down on your knees and praying till God blesses you? And the name of the leopard, his servant told him, said, listen, if the prophet had told you to do something hard, you'd have done it. But go on and do what the man of God told you to do and get this thing over with. And Naamah the leper, he went down and he dipped in the Jordan River. You see, when you'd been cleansed of leprosy, you were to be immersed in water as a symbol of being cleansed. You see, Elisha was just getting him to operate and walk in faith. Go on and dip yourself and recognize yourself as clean. He sent him down to the river knowing Elisha didn't send Gershon, his servant, down there to say, just see if he ever comes back up clean. Check on him and see if this thing worked. Elisha knew that it would work because he knew the power of God, and he told Naamah the leper, go on down there and dip yourself 7 times. And when he dipped the first time, he come up, he still had leprosy. When he dipped the second time, he still had leprosy. You see, some of you quit dipping way too early. Go on and do exactly what the Word of God says. Some of you pick and choose. Well, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do this. If you want to be blessed, you do the whole counsel of God. Do what God told you. And when Naamah the leper come up the 7th time, he wasn't called Naamah the leper anymore. The Bible says his skin became like baby's skin. He was made perfectly whole. And I love what Naamah the leper done after he was healed and the leprosy left him. He didn't pack up his belongings and go back home and say, okay, I'm all right. He turned back. He was like that one leper that turned back with Jesus. He turned back to the prophet of God and he fell on his face and he said, listen, there's no other God like the God of Israel. There's no other God that I'm going to worship but the God of Israel. There's no God like Jehovah. And he said, this is what I want. I want 2 mule loads of dirt from this country. And I want to go back and I'm going to build me an altar and I'm going to worship no other God. Even though the king leans on me when he worships his false God, he may worship his false God, but I'm going to worship the God of Israel. Let me tell you, you may be in a place right now that everybody around you is worshiping their false God, but child, you hold on to that holy ground. You worship the God, the true living God, because you see what? Let me tell you, you're cleansed. They're not. You're made whole. They're not. You delivered. They're not. Whose God are you going to serve? The God that's going to keep you in bondage and keep, see, the false God couldn't cleanse him of his leprosy, but the Lord God Almighty did. Who are you going to serve today? Choose this day who you're going to serve. The God of love, the God of miracles, the God of victory, or the God that's just up on a wall that wants you to destroy yourself and destroy your fellow man. Serve the living God. God is love. He's merciful and he wants to give you life and give it more abundantly. And he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross in your stead and to pay for the wickedness that you've done, to pay for your sins, to take your sins on him. He took it on him so you could be forgiven. Please accept that gift that he has for you today. Receive that gift at his called salvation, and it comes through no other name but the name of Jesus. Today, call on the name of Jesus. Call on him. Naamah said, I'm going back. And you know what Elisha told him? He said, go in peace. See, when you turn back, and Jesus told that one leper that had been healed, he said, go your way, because your faith has made you whole. And Elisha told Naamah the leper, go in peace. See, when you turn back and praise God, you're going to be made whole, and you're going in peace. Let me tell you, no matter where you're at, you can be in peace. No matter where you're at, you can be made whole. No matter what's your situation, he can give you peace in your heart and in your mind. Oh, peace like a river. Joy flood me. Rivers of living water. And God could cause you to be a witness wherever you're at. Even though Naamah the leper had to go back to a heathen land, he stood for God and he worshiped God. He said, I'll make no sacrifice except to the sacrifice of the living God, the God of Israel. And he, let me tell you something, when he left there, he come out of the muddy Jordan, but he come out clean. Oh, I like that. Name of the leopard, he come out of the muddy Jordan, but he came out clean. Some of you have been in the mud and the muck and the mire, but if you do what God tells you and you let God order your footsteps, you're going to come out clean. I'm telling you, you're going to come out clean and made whole. No more will that sin be held over you. No more will that thing be held over your head. No more will you be accused and know that you've done it. God, he'll take and he'll forgive you, and he'll write your name down in glory. And when the books are open and your old account is brought up before you, it'll be paid in full. Oh, I love that today. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below, but I went unto the keeper and I settled long ago. Oh, will you settle your account today? Will you go to Jesus and say, have mercy on you, on me? Will you go to Jesus and fall down and say, have mercy on me, Jesus, and take care of this thing that's eating me up. Take care of this thing that's in my body. Take care of this parasite that's in my soul. Take care of this addiction. Oh, Lord, set me free and make me whole. You got to know that he loves you and he wants you to be made whole. There's nothing that's happened to you that he can't take care of. There's nothing too hard for him. Call on him. Ask for mercy for him. You've already called everybody else. You've already done everything else. Try Jesus. Try him today. You'll not be disappointed. Call on him with your whole heart. Mean business in your heart, and he'll touch you. He'll bless you. He'll make you whole, and he'll deliver you, and he'll set you free. But you need to call on him. You need to know that. You say, Bonnie, it's just me. I'm all by myself. A friend of mine was in a small church up in Bandy, Virginia. And he went but just a few people in the church at night when he preached. And the Lord told him to give an altar call and ask people to come up for healing. And he told the Lord, he said, well, there's nobody in here but just a couple of people. I'll wait till it's more. And the Lord said, no, call them up now. And just that little handful of people come up. And there was a woman in there that had been sick for many years, that had suffered affliction for many years. And that night God healed her and delivered her. And my friend said, listen, Blonnie, I learned. I might be small, but I'm going to give it my all. Because, see, God can bless by few, or he can bless by many. Let me tell you, child, you may be the only one in that room, but you call on him for mercy. You might be small, but you give it your all, and God will give you his all. Oh, I like that. You might be small, but you give it your all, because God will give you his all. And his all is forgiveness. His all is love. His all is victory. His all is greatness. His all is mercy and compassion and grace. His all. He's our all and all. And no matter what you're faced with, call on him. And always turn back and say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And today I want this to be a day of praise. Just go around all day and saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just see what the Lord hath done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you do that today? And I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast. I want to thank you that write me. And I have the privilege to pray with you. It's an honor for me when I go to my post office box and I look in and there's a letter that somebody took time to write me a note and let me know that you listen to me on the radio. I can't tell you how that blesses me. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for taking the time to write me. And I want you to know that I'm faithful to pray for you. And I hold you up in my prayers. And today I'm asking God to bless you and to watch over you and to meet and supply your every need. And I thank Jesus for you. And I thank Jesus for what he's done for me. And I thank Jesus that I'm honored and privileged to preach his word. It's an honor to carry the word of God. And my heart's desire is to preach to the day I die. And the day I die, I pray I have a sweet crossing. And I pray that I'll meet you in heaven. I may not see you here on this earth, but we'll know one another in heaven. God bless you today. Have a marvelous day in Jesus. And remember, you be the one that turns back and says, thank you. You be the one that falls down and says, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Thank you for your blessings that you've bestowed upon me. Be thankful, be grateful, and God's blessings rest upon you. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. Tune in again next week at the same time. Thank you. Please stand with me as I carry the gospel across this land.